We're going to look together at that passage from Ezekiel 33 that was read to us a few moments ago. Ezekiel chapter 33. During the Second World War, they sounded sirens to warn of imminent air bombing raids. My earliest memories are of hearing those wailing sirens night after night, and being rushed downstairs and out to an air raid shelter in our back garden, which was half buried in the ground, which served the whole neighborhood, my mother having to get us out of bed downstairs as the siren was wailing. One night, we couldn't get to the air raid shelter in time, and the bombs fell, and a number of houses were badly damaged. Our house was badly damaged. A house up the road, 200 yards up the road, was badly damaged, and a mother and her baby girl were dug out of the wreckage, and that baby girl has been my wife for the last 59 years, so I'm glad about that. But those air raid warnings were awful. There was a wailing sound. Well, now in Ezekiel's day, they didn't have air raid warnings. In 600 BC, when he lived, they had no such things. Instead, there would be a watchman. And the watchman's duty was to walk around the city walls. And if he saw any danger of attack, his duty was to blow the trumpet as loud as he could. It was an important job, the watchman warning the people, blowing the trumpet. If he failed to see the danger, if he failed to blow the trumpet, he was in terrible trouble. If he sounded the trumpet, and the people took no heed, well, he was okay. He was spared. But they were held accountable for being so foolish as to not to heed the warning. That was the duty of the watchman. It's all described in that passage that was read to us. He warned the people of impending danger by sounding a trumpet. And God uses that as a kind of parable and says to Ezekiel 33, verse 7, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. I've made you a watchman. You hear the warning from me and tell the people." God told Ezekiel that he was to be a watchman. Just as the man was appointed to patrol the city walls and look out for danger and warn the people, so Ezekiel was to warn the people. And that is the duty of every preacher, to warn people of the danger they face. That is my duty as a preacher, to warn people of the danger they face. You may not like us for doing that. Like a lot of preachers, I've had people even swear at me as they've left church because they've been so annoyed at the warning. But we are commanded to do that. My mother didn't like it when the air raid warning sounded out night after night, and she had to get us into the shelter. She didn't like that, but she realized it was necessary. And people may not like gospel preachers warning them, but it is very necessary. First of all, we must be aware of what the danger is. What is the danger that we preachers must warn people of? In Ezekiel's case, he had to warn the people that God was going to judge their nation. The judgment had already begun. Jerusalem had already been attacked. A number of people had been taken away captive to the land of Babylon. The danger had already started. But Ezekiel's warning was to be, that the danger would get worse, that their beloved city would be overthrown, and people would be totally conquered by the Babylonian army as a punishment for their sin against God. That's the great danger that Ezekiel had to warn people of. What is the danger that we have to warn people of today? What is the danger that gospel preachers must warn people of? Let me speak as plain as I can. It's the danger of eternal punishment. It's the danger of being excluded, of being exiled forever from the glory of heaven. It's the danger of having to spend eternity in a dreadful place called hell. It's a real place, a place of despair and remorse and punishment, a place where both soul and body are punished. Jesus said that. Matthew 10, verse 28, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of him who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell." Jesus himself described hell as a place of terrible darkness and bondage, a place where there is endless weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, the Bible makes it quite clear that this life is not all there is. That, alas, is what many people think today. Let's eat, drink, be merry. Tomorrow we die, that's it. Curtains, nothing more. They think that'll be the end of everything. But that will not be the end. One day, God will step in and call this world to a halt. One day, God will step in and stop the clock. But that will not be the end of everything. There's an eternity to be faced. There'll be a judgment day, the most awesome day the universe has ever known. And everyone will be there to be judged by Almighty God. We'll have to stand before the judgment seat of God, and on that day, he will announce our eternal destiny. If we are Christian believers, it will be an eternity, an eternal home in heaven. If we're not true Christian believers, it will be an eternity in the horror of hell. That is the danger of which we must warn, the danger of being eternally excluded from heaven, and the danger of being eternally punished in hell. Now let me stress, this is not my teaching. It's not something I've conjured up in my own mind. It's not something that I picked up from some old-fashioned hellfire Victorian preacher of the last century. It comes from God himself. It's his word. God says to Ezekiel, "Hear the word I speak and give them warning from me." It is God the Lord who tells us of this danger that we face. You have it also in many parts of the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians says, "The Lord himself will be revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They'll be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power." That's the danger. There are many preachers today, sadly, who tell us that there's no danger at all. They tell us that everybody will get to heaven eventually. What they call universalism. Everybody will get to heaven eventually. Or there are those who say that when the unbeliever dies, they're just annihilated. End of everything. Curtains. But the teaching of the Bible is very, very clear. the Son of God himself warns of the danger of eternal, never-ending punishment in hell. Can I ask you, have you faced up to that? Have you taken notice of the warning? Have you turned to God in repentance and faith? It is the preacher's duty to warn people of this thing. But wait a moment, says someone, why am I in danger? Why will God banish me from heaven and send me to this place called hell? Well, here's the answer to that. He will do so if we're not believers, because of our sin and our rebellion against him. If you're not a Christian, if you've never turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are still living in rebellion against God. You're what verse 8 of this chapter calls a wicked person. That's how we all are by nature, rebels against God, doing wicked things in the sight of God, telling lies, being dishonest, being impure, ignoring God. And that's why God will need to punish us. He's a just God. He can't just smile at sin. He can't pretend he's never seen it. He must punish sin. You see, if a football player breaks the rules on the football pitch, the referee demands that he be punished. A penalty must be awarded. And people want that to happen on the football field. They want justice on the football field. But God is more just than any football referee. And if we sin against God, God will punish us one day. That's the reason for the danger, our sin and rebellion against God. My friend, if you finish up being banished from heaven, there'll only be one reason for it, your sin. There'll be only one person to blame, yourself. You refuse to listen to the gospel and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But come to another question. That's the danger you face if you're not a Christian. But why should those of us who are preachers warn you of that? That's a very important question. I've lost count over the years, the number of people who said, why do you have to preach about sin and judgment and hell? It makes me angry. People get very angry when we warn them. I've even heard people say, if you carry on preaching like that about judgment and hell and sin, I'll stop coming. In my first church, after my first ever Christmas morning service, a church member, stormed out of church. He actually swore at me and said, if it's the last thing I do, I'll get you out of this church. I do not want to be told about sin. I do not want to be told about the danger I'm in. If it's the last thing I do, I'll get you out. He was very, very angry. Very angry. Many people are. He came round my house, our house on Boxing Day, and repeated his threat. But preachers must preach what God tells them to preach. God commands us to do so. We're under orders from God. It's here in verse 7, Son of man, I've made you a watchman over the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and warn them from me. Hear the word I speak and warn them from me. It's a command. And when God commands us, we must obey. Preachers have no option. Men and women may ridicule us. They may laugh at us. They may hate us. They may storm out of church in fury. But we have no alternative. God says, it's your duty to warn them from me. It's a command which is repeated many times in the Bible. You get it again in the book of Joel. Joel says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. We're commanded to blow the trumpet of warning. Imagine a watchman, a warden in the last war. His job, when he hears there's going to be a bombing raid, his job is to press the button and sound the siren. But he says one night, I won't do that. If I press that button and sound the siren, it'll wake them all up, it'll upset people, it'll make them cry. And so he decides that he won't press the button. But that's awful. That is ghastly. I'm sure my mother didn't like being woken up, having to rescue the kids and get them downstairs into the shelter. But the man was doing his duty, pressing the button, to letting us know that danger was near. And it's the duty of preachers, it's the duty of gospel witnesses, it's the duty of Christians to warn people that the end is coming. And one day we've got to stand before God and give an account. Following on from that, we must warn men and women of their danger. Because if we don't, we will have to answer for it on the day of judgment. The day of judgment is coming. And on that day, not only will unbelievers be judged, not only will unbelievers be summoned before God and judged by God, but those of us who are preachers and Christian workers will be summoned before God. And all our preaching and all our teaching will be assessed. Remember that solemn verse in James chapter 3? It makes me tremble. Not many of you, says James, not many of you should become teachers, because you know that we who are teachers will face a stricter judgment. Not many of you should want to become teachers, because we know that teachers will face a stricter judgment. And in particular, God will ask us, did you warn the people from me? Did you tell them of their danger? Did you sound the alarm? Did you make it clear to them? Did you leave them in no doubt? God says, verse 8, when I say to the wicked, a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked men will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. That wicked man will die in his sin, but I will hold you accountable for his blood. I know no more startling verse of the Bible for preachers than that. It's an awesome responsibility for a preacher preaching the gospel. Some people rush into it without thinking what they're doing, but it's an awesome responsibility. When the great John Knox was first called to preach in the Church of St. Andrews in Scotland, he burst into tears, tried to run away. The brave John Knox, whose preaching made Mary Queen of Scots tremble, he wept when he realized the awesomeness of the job. Another great preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, said, let those preach lightly who dare to do so. For me, it is the burden of the Lord which sometimes crushes me to the dust. It's an awesome thing to be a warden, to warn people of danger. And if we fail to do it, we'll be held responsible before Almighty God. But here's another reason why we must warn and save people of the danger facing them. Because the vast majority are unaware of it. The vast majority are unaware of it. They can't see any danger. They feel sure they're quite all right on the way to heaven, that God is bound to let them into heaven. They've been told that by false teachers. They feel sure that everybody will get to heaven. They feel sure that their good record of good deeds will get them into heaven. They're unaware of the danger that faces them. They haven't seen that in spite of all their good works, in spite of all their good deeds, they're still guilty in the sight of God. They're still sinners in the sight of God. In the 18th century, a brilliant preacher by the name of George Whitefield had an amazing illustration. He was preaching one day in the drawing room of the Countess of Huntingdon, preaching to the aristocracy of the land. Just as he preached to the poor, poverty-stricken miners in Bristol. And he pictured the sinner as a blind beggar walking with his dog nearer and nearer and nearer to the edge of a precipice. Nearer and nearer he gets to the edge, unaware of the danger. The dog tries to pull him back from the edge, but he goes on in his blindness, unaware of the peril. And such was the power, such was the force of the illustration, that Lord Chesterfield, who was there, leapt to his feet and said, "By heavens, the beggar's doomed. Stop him." And that's the job of the preacher, to warn people as clearly as they can of the danger they're facing. Because, like the blind man going nearer and nearer to the edge of the precipice, most people are unaware of their danger, unaware that there'll be a day of judgment, unaware that one day they're at the temple of God. But most of all, we must warn men and women of the danger they're in, because we want them to be saved. We don't just want them to warn them, to make them tremble. We want them to be saved. That's why the watchman in Ezekiel's day blew the trumpet. He wanted the people of the city to be saved and not perish. That's why those sirens were sounded in the last war, that people might be saved from danger. And that's why preachers of the gospel warned of the danger of judgment and hell. Not just to frighten people, but that they might be saved, that they might see their need and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Saved from hell, saved from the bondage of sin, saved to a glorious future in heaven. And that is possible. You'll notice in this passage that Ezekiel is sometimes called the Son of Man. And you will know that an even greater person than Ezekiel was called the Son of Man. And that person was the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this world and he died upon the cross to bear the punishment of sin, to bear the wrath of God that was meant for us. He came into the world and died upon the cross to bear the punishment of sin in the place of sinners like us. And all who trust in him, all who plead with him to save them, will be saved. And that is what we long for. That's why we warn people. That's why we preach the gospel. Because we long for people to be gloriously saved that is possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. That happened in our own lives. One day, someone was a watchman and warned me. I went to a church where they didn't normally preach the gospel. So we never were warned. But one night a man came and he preached the gospel and warned me, a wicked sinner, of the danger I was in. I thank God that he warned me. And that led to me being saved. It's a marvelous thing to be saved from the danger to come. That remarkable hymn by John Wesley, "No condemnation now I dread." That's why we warn you, my friend, so that you might come to that position where you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved from all condemnation and are saved from all danger. You see, God doesn't want you to be lost. God is just. He must punish sin. But he doesn't want you to be lost. Verse 11 tells us, "As sure as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they may turn from their ways and live." You notice the passion, the pathos in God's voice there. Turn, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die? God doesn't want us to be lost. God longs for us to be saved. But we know that you never will be saved. Have no desire to be saved unless someone warns of the danger. Those are the reasons, then, why those of us who are Christian preachers and Christian witnesses must blow the trumpet and warn the lost. God commands us to do so. He will call us to account if we don't do so. Men and women are blind to their danger, and we long for them to be saved, and God longs for them to be saved. That brings me, therefore, to this question. How should you react to this warning? You're not a Christian, maybe, but you've heard the warning of the great danger that you're in. How should you react? Sadly, some people ignore the warning. There were people like that in Ezekiel's day. They heard the sound of the trumpet, but they didn't take warning. Some people did that during the last war. They heard the sound of the siren, but did nothing about it. There was a man who lived just up the road from us. And when the siren went night after night, he took no notice, just stayed in bed, said, "I'll be all right." But one night, his house was flattened, and he was killed. But he thought he'd be all right. That's a sad, sad thing. Some people ignore the warning. Some people may say, "Well, I don't like the preacher." There was one standing at the door of the church, a visiting preacher was preaching for us, and a woman went out and said, "I've never been so angry in my life." And he said to her, "Praise the Lord that something has disturbed you at last." And I would say the same. If you've been annoyed this morning, praise the Lord that something has disturbed you at last. Because to hear the warning and ignore it, as that man did during the war, is a terrible, awful thing to do. What should we do then? How should we respond? The answer is given in verse 11. Turn, turn from your evil ways. Have done with living for self have done with ignoring God, have done with rebelling against God, turn from your sin. It's abhorrent to God. It will exclude you from heaven. Thank him that he sent his son to die, that sinners like you may be saved. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to him in faith. Plead with him to save you. Realize you need him, that he died to save sinners like you. You must realize that he's your only hope. Your only hope. There is no other way of salvation. I remember one night, we were in the air raid shelter. I was a young child at the time, but the memories are vivid. The siren had gone, and the bombs began to fall all around us. And there we were, in our Anderson shelter, in the back garden. My mother, my older brother, me, and a number of neighbors. When suddenly, there was a violent knocking on the door of the air raid shelter. And a man shouting, "Let me in, let me in." Who was he? He was a man my father had met as an air raid warden, going around making sure that everyone was okay, who was terrified. He was walking home, had heard the air raid warning, heard the bombs falling, realized he was in great danger. And so my father directed him to the air raid shelter in our back garden. And there he was, hammering on the door, "Let me in, let me in," desperate to be saved. Well, my friend, that's what you must do if you're not a Christian. You're in danger. The only person who can save you is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must come to him, knock on the door, as it were, and plead with him to accept you and to receive you and to save you and to make you God's child. Say to him, "Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing." Plead with him to save you, and you'll be safe. During the war, there was that eerie air raid warning, a wailing sound, the most depressing sound, this wailing sound of an air raid warning going on. But then when the danger was past, there was another kind of sound, another siren, and it was called the All Clear. A much more cheerful note, a continuous, nice sound. And it told people that the bombing raid was over and that they were now out of danger. Well, in a much more wonderful way, if you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him, ask him to forgive you, you'll be out of danger. You'll be all clear. All your sin will be forgiven. All the danger will be gone. You'll be sure of a place in heaven. And you'll be able to say, "My sin," we're now going to sing it in a moment, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." When you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, he blots out all of your sin, because he died for that sin when he died upon the cross. He blots it all out, and you're safe, all clear. You can go to heaven when you die. Praise God for the wonderful message of the gospel. Yeah, a dreadful warning. A dreadful warning. And the warning sound is awful. Wailing sound. But there's another sound. All clear. You're safe now. And we trust that everybody will go from this building this morning safe in the knowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven them.